faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving, and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
Leadership File on Premier.
It's my joy to welcome you to the Leadership File, the show that aims to help you lead as Christ would have you lead wherever he has placed you. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and whether you listen live on a Sunday or one of the many thousands who catch up via the podcast, it's great that you can join us. You don't have to be on the cast of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat to know that dreams are a key part of life and a galvanizing element in leadership. Throughout church history, men and women with dreams of the future have seen churches planted, businesses established, and charities formed. So how are your dreams? Are you having some, or are you all dreamed out? Well, to talk about dreams and some of the rationale for dreaming as a Christian, I'm joined this week on the Leadership File by Jamie Lee. Jamie is on the leadership team of Christ the King Plumstead in South East London. So, Jamie, great to welcome you.
It's good to be here.
So, your journey into Christian leadership, first of all?
Well, I don't think I ever really had a dream or a plan to be a leader. I think the first thing I ever did in church was I made 67 blackcurrant juices for the creche.
Right.
And I said to God when I was 23, I'd like to say yes to every opportunity I'm given. So when leaders ask me to do things, I think I always wanted to say, yeah, I'll try that. I'll give a go at that. And trying various things and doing various things, kind of one thing led to another.
Well.
And now I'm one of the leaders in a church.
Fabulous. Okay. Do you have a title as such?
Do you know, we're trying not to have titles.
Okay. Fair enough. No, that's good. That's good. And so this interview comes in part from a talk I heard you give to a group of Christian leaders. And it's obviously you were talking about the importance of having dreams. So talk to me about how that idea kind of arrested you, first of all, as a Christian leader.
I was at a conference hosted by Eastgate with a speaker called Danny Silk from Bethel Church in Redding, California. And he was speaking about dreaming with God. And he said, I'm going to show you my dream list. And I thought, I know what's going to be on that dream list. It'll be spiritual dreams, maybe it'll be church planting dreams, ministry dreams. But then he showed the list and it had things like NASCAR driving a fast car on a racetrack and sleeping in the White House overnight, and then a dream of giving away $1 million. And there was this whole host and range of dreams. And I thought, wow, that's really broadened my permission to dream. I realised actually I'd stopped dreaming in one sense, and I'd limited dreams to being ministry dreams and spiritual dreams.
Sure. You kind of embraced that idea and started, I don't know if you wrote a dream list yourself, but you certainly started praying, didn't you?
I suddenly realised that actually healthy children, I was reflecting on our daughters, have no struggle or trouble dreaming. And they're always anticipating, they're always asking, they're always dreaming. And I began to reflect on the thought, actually, to be a healthy son, child of God, dreaming's a really key element in that. And I began to, write down some dreams. And on the dream coaching thing that Danny talked about was this writing down 100 dreams.
100 dreams, my word. How many did you get to?
At first, I think I got to about 12. I just realised I'd stopped dreaming.
Yeah.
And actually, I'd closed down a lot of expectation, anticipation.
Right.
So, I just began to write down a whole range of things.
Yeah. And on the course, on the day when you gave the talk, you shared some surprising ways in which God seem to be answering the dreams.
Well, one of the dreams I wrote down was I'd like to see the film Jaws again at the cinema. I'd remember seeing it as a kid, and I'd wanted to go and see it at the cinema for a long, long time. So I just wrote it down. And almost, I guess within weeks or months of writing it down, suddenly I was in London Bridge, and there was this Jaws poster, and it said, being re-released to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Universal Studios. And I thought, wow, that's one of my dreams, and it's coming out. And I kind of, because of this dream journey, I connected that actually to the attentiveness and the kindness of God, that he'd seen me write it down. And as a really kind father, he'd arranged things for this movie to be re-released.
Sure. And was it as good as you remembered it?
I still...
Maybe you've seen it on DVD as well, but anyway.
I've seen it about 20 times, but I still managed to jump.
You did?
At all the moments in the cinema.
Fair enough. Okay. And other answers to prayer you've seen?
I think it's amazing that my list now is probably 130 different dreams.
All right.
And regularly seeing God organise circumstances, opportunities, opening doors, making things possible. From, like I said, a whole range of things, maybe dreams around, places to visit, things I'd love to see open up and happen in the church, things I'd like to have or emotions I'd like to grow in. Just seeing a whole range of ways that God has made things possible.
And obviously, as we're having this conversation, there could be folk listening thinking, hang on, I know where this is heading, because they've heard this kind of talk before, and it comes under the label of prosperity gospel, you know, name it and claim it kind of stuff. And just reflect a little bit on how similar or different it is from that kind of approach.
Well, I think the key thing about dreaming with God is the ultimate goal is relationship and connection and intimacy with God. That the ultimate goal really isn't about the trip to New York that we dreamt of having and it happened, or seeing the movie, but it's that connection to God, who's generous, wise, attentive, able to make things open up for us. And I think the dreams that get fulfilled just draw us into a place of trust. I like what Chris Vallotton says about the whole thing of asking and receiving, when he says, getting a Ferrari doesn't mean that God loves you, unless it means that God loves you.
Right.
You know, it can be that his expression of love can sometimes be that thing you've always dreamt of having. But yeah.
So just to be clear, therefore, we're not presuming that that these are things that we name and claim. They're part of actually a deeper relationship. That's the key thing, and that as an expression of that relationship with God, it's legitimate for us to say, and actually, this is what I'd love to see happen.
Yeah, and I think that's really seen in, I think, parents' relationship with their children. They're saying children are always asking. Children are always talking about what's on their heart. Like our daughter suddenly got into sewing and stuff. Suddenly it draws us into the whole world of sewing. We're thinking, actually, how can we get you the sewing machine? How can we resource you for that project? How can we make that thing happen?
And you talked about the concept of an orphan heart and having a poverty mentality, which I think is a very powerful message, which would be good to share, to chat with a little bit. What do you mean by an orphan heart?
I think a fun illustration of seeing like an orphan heart or a poverty mentality can be you're in an all-that-you-can-eat Chinese buffet, and when you walk in, the kind of poverty mentality or the orphan heart gets exposed by the thought, there might not be enough. And I'm in competition with the other diners. And if I don't get all that chicken or all that duck, or there might not be any left afterwards. And so it can be, well, I'm going to load up my plate with absolutely everything now, because there might not be any after. Is that sense, yeah, there's not enough. It can be, there's not enough time, there's not enough resources, there's not enough opportunities. It can also be expressed in, I've got to be self-sufficient, I'm independent, I'm alone, I can't trust anybody to do anything on my behalf. So it's got to be my resources, my capacity, my effort. So that sense of not having parental figures, as it were, that you can go to and share your dreams with an expectation that they would want to resource it, want to make it happen, want to open things up.
And within a, certainly I know a little of the adoption world that, that within the heart of a child, they've because of the pain that they've suffered in not having good parenting, they've become hard in their heart. So they sort of sabotage relationships. They don't expect very much. They're very self-sufficient. And that can be how Christians are if they have the wrong understanding of the God of the Bible.
Yes, it can be. Yeah, why would he be interested in what's on my heart? Why would he be interested in my passions? If anything's going to happen, I'm just going to have to make it happen on my own. Or it can be, I better grab everything that comes past because this might be the last ever opportunity, invitation, resource there is. So.
Mm. Yes, but you use this illustration of the river and almost like standing in a river and stuff coming towards you. And just unpack that for us a little.
Well, it's an illustration I heard from Stephen De Silva, and he talks about, you know, you're in the river and things are coming past you. And you can then, you can turn in the river and start to face the things coming towards you. And because you've got this expectation, actually God's got more than enough, there's more than enough time, resources, opportunities, that as those things come towards you, you can think, that one's for me, that opportunity, that possibility, that's for me, I'm going to grab that. But you can also let lots of things go past you that don't really fit with where you're heading or what God's called you to. I think the orphan mentality in the river would be better grab absolutely everything, can't let anything pass because there might not be anything else coming. But I think this spiritual adoption mindset of actually there's enough, there's plenty, can be, yeah, that one's for me, but it also can be in a community sense of calling out to your neighbour and your friend and someone else, that one's for you, you grab that.
Yeah. We're listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Jamie Lee. Jamie's on the leadership team of Christ the King Plumstead, and we're talking about dreaming. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Jamie Lee. Jamie is on the leadership team of Christ the King Plumstead in southeast London. We're talking about the whole idea of dreaming, of how our dreams enable us to some extent to connect with God. That we were talking a little bit before the break about the poverty mindset, poverty mentality that presumes that we've got to grab at stuff because there may not be anything else, but actually a trust in God, a confidence in God, gives us a different mentality. So in terms of how this relates to church leadership, Jamie, and the way you understand things, and let me explain what I think you may be saying, that you believe that God can intervene and reveal particular plans, but that he may be looking to see what you want as well, and that what your dreams might be. Would that be kind of fair?
It would be. I think that... someone said, how do you know that that thing on your heart is something that God would want you to do? And I believe it was Joy Barham who does a dream coaching. She her answer to that question was, who have you been hanging out with? That when you're in relationship with God, you're talking to God, you're developing friendship with him, his dreams are going to rub off on you. And actually some aspects of what you will begin to dream about will be hugely influenced by the relationship that you're in. And so, yeah, God does take initiative. God is the great entrepreneurial spark. He does have things for us to do, race for us to run. But I think as well, he wants to create this two-way street where we initiate too, and we come up with ideas too, and dreams and plans that we bring to him. And that the kingdom is a kingdom of freedom. And I think it's Eric Johnson, again from Reading Church Bethel, who said, the light is green until it goes red. So I think sometimes and I think it relates back to this kind of orphan mentality. We're so scared of risk and failure and getting it wrong that we kind of are paralyzed by that fear. And I think there's times where God just says, what do you want to do? What's on your heart? What are you dreaming of? You've got freedom to get on with it.
Is it a little like in the parable of the it's called the prodigal son, but the eldest son is particularly significant in the parable, where the eldest son is slaving away saying to the father, I've been slaving away, you never killed a fattened calf for me. And the father says, well, all I have is yours. And he'd be living under a poverty mentality when actually he could have been enjoying far more the father's presence.
Absolutely, because he believes really that he's slaving, that his duty, that he's keeping the rules, makes him entitled for the father to now give him. But yeah, he doesn't initiate when he could have said, actually, I want a party.
Yeah, absolutely. So any kind of heroes, either biblical or historical or contemporary, who have embodied this idea of dreaming for you?
I mean, one of the key books I read was Bill Johnson's book, Dreaming with God. And I think what inspires me about him is his capacity to have huge dreams without entitlement, that he's able to have this intimacy, connection with God, dreaming big, world-changing dreams, dreams about health, dreams about the city they live in, but with a surrendered heart, without saying, I'm entitled.
Yeah. So that kind of sense of trust, but also of expectation.
Yes.
Yeah. And that would be other books you found helpful?
Andy and Janine Mason wrote a great book, Dream Culture.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great introduction to dreaming. Danny Silk, his Loving on Purpose app course is amazing. He has some talks on dreaming with God and some how that, again, relates to leadership and personal walk with God.
So the Dream Culture book is by Andy and...
That's Andy and Janine Mason.
Andy and Janine Mason, if you're looking for a pen, that's that book. And Danny Silk, Loving on Purpose.
He's got a Loving on Purpose Academy. He's got a leadership track on that academy, and one of the tracks is on dreaming.
Okay, excellent. Okay. Now, there will be folk who are listening to this, some in leadership, maybe some not, And they're probably, you know, it's hopefully an interesting conversation. But for some, there's that feeling in the guts as they've been listening, of dreams unfulfilled, of stuff they've tried, of maybe even feeling let down by God at some point. And I just wonder what you'd say to folk in that sort of situation.
I think that one of the key things in a relationship with God is this. Being honest and authentic and real, and talking to God about disappointment or disillusionment or things that didn't happen the way you expected it to happen, and talking to God about I thought by now I'd hoped, why wasn't that person healed, why didn't maybe I get married, where is the baby that we had hoped for that hasn't happened? I think it's that brutal honesty with God. And I love how Bill Johnson talks about it when he talks about his own processing the disappointment when his dad died, of being real with God without accusing God, of saying, it felt like you let me down, it felt like you didn't back me up, it felt like you didn't come through. I know that you're good, and I know that's not what happened. I know that didn't happen like that. But I just want to be real and invite God to comfort. And I think as well then to say, I'm going to go again. I'm going to dream again. I want to come back to that place of expectation, anticipation, that you are a good, good father, and begin to just write things down, begin by places you'd love to go to, or a job you'd love to have, or emotions you'd love to feel. Just get going again.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you. Trust that'll be a blessing to many. And in terms of, you know, you've been living with this for some years. Can you look back and see in ways in which in the church family this something of your heartbeat has changed how you've led or how things have happened for the church?
I think one of the biggest shifts philosophically on leadership that I've felt was that I felt that in the past, often the dreams in the church got locked up within the leadership team, and the leadership team might share dreams and ideas, and then bring those dreams to the people, and with maybe an expectation that people would serve those dreams, resource those dreams. But I think the more we've explored and journeyed that actually God is a good father to everybody, and that we are not just about setting vision, but we're actually about creating an environment, a culture, in which everybody gets to connect to God, and everybody's in this two-way street with God. And it means that there can be this whole range of innovation and creativity that begins to emerge out of the body and not just out of the team.
Right. So it's obviously there's things you do corporately in terms of organising and setting agendas for the church and what you do. But every individual within that church is indwelt by the Spirit and therefore has capacity and connection and influence that they're to use.
Yes, and suddenly ideas that you've never would have dreamt of, innovations, experimentation, creativity begins to emerge all over the place. And then I think the role of leadership is, what's the soil going to be in which these things are going to grow? What's the culture we're creating? So that whilst there's all this freedom to connect, imagine and dream, it's all happening within a culture. Of culture of loving one another, deferring to one another, empowering one another, championing one another.
Sure. And daring, I guess, to share those some of those dreams which may seem out of the, you know, out of the ordinary or unexpected or unusual.
Yeah, then there becomes this possibility of, you know, I can take a risk, I can have a go, I can step out. And I think that's where the whole identity stuff comes in, because our identities then are not attached to being successful and this thing happening and working the way we planned, but we can step out, take a risk. If we fail, we can get back up again. Our worthiness is about actually we're loved, we're connected.
Yeah. And I understand you have a Dream Revolution app. So you can people can go to iTunes or the App Store or wherever and download the Dream Revolution.
Yeah, it's the Dream Revolution app. It's available the App Store, like I said, Google Play and Windows. I think it came out of the exploration of how to communicate this whole thing of dreaming with God, and that initially people struggled with the idea. How actually do you do this? This is going to take a lot of mind shift, and we thought actually if we put resources in their hands that they can use wherever they are, training, coaching, audio resources, video resources, it just helps the message kind of drip through. And one of the things we do on the app is 3 to 4 times a year we take people on a 40-day Dreaming with God journey, and the app sends a notification every morning with just some bite-sized teaching on actually outworking some of these things. Actually, how do you outwork, you know, walking out of disappointment into trust? How do you get rid of the poverty mentality, the orphan mindset?
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. So you just go to your wherever you're connecting, type in the words Dream Revolution, and you can download
it's free.
It. It's free, available. So there we are. So if that's the way in which you deal with your media, there's a free app for you to utilise. And fabulous. Anything I haven't kind of asked you about, Jamie, that is on your heart to share? Not especially.
No, I think that kind of, covers everything.
Kind of does it. Okay, fabulous. Well, you've been listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Pecco. I was joined this week by Jamie Lee. Jamie's on the leadership team of Christ the King Plumstead, Southeast London. Go to the website of Premier, and you can find archived versions of The Leadership File. Go to iTunes too and download it to your listening device. And do get that Dream Revolution app. If this has piqued your interest, if you're thinking, well, how do I go about this? Then maybe the Dream Revolution app will help you to connect better with God. And who knows, you know, maybe in a 12 months time, you'll be looking back at a very different 12 months because you've looked to God and you've seen him come through and you've connected with God in a fresh and a vital way. So thanks, Jamie, for
thank you.
All that you've shared. And thank you for listening. And I look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.